Unionist politicians have voiced their fury at a paramilitary display in Derry/Londonderry. Dozens of people wearing military-style uniforms, berets and dark glasses attended the funeral of Peggy O'Hara, the mother of the INLA hunger striker Patsy O'Hara, who died in the maze in 1981. The independent councillor Gary Donnelly is with me today. Morning to you, Gary.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. You attended the funeral. The DUP's Gregory Campbell. Morning to you, Gregory.
Morning, Stephen.
Maybe you can give us a run-up, Gregory, to what actually happened before this funeral.
Yes, well, on Thursday, as I understand it, and we have some video footage to show what happened on Thursday when the remains were coming for the wake. Armed paramilitary dressed individuals fired a volley of shots over the coffin. I and the local MLA, Gary Middleton, and other unionists as well, indicated that if this was what happened in terms of a breach of the law, and it clearly was, on the Thursday night, then the police needed to be aware, as I'm sure it didn't take us to tell them, but they needed to be aware that on Saturday at the funeral, there would probably be further breaches of the law. So the police had 48 hours notice and warning that there would probably be a breach of the law. And there was a major breach. We had dozens of paramilitary dressed individuals, men and women, who paraded alongside a hearse. And it appears to have gone on for almost 2 miles right throughout the West Bank of Londonderry. And, of course, the law was broken again. Now, we understand there's been some searches since. Well, let's see what they produce. But the law has been broken on a number of occasions, both on Thursday and on Saturday, and we now need to see the law upheld.
And it's your position that the police had a heads up from people like yourselves that the law was going to be broken, so the police had an opportunity to stop the law being broken. And presumably some would argue, what did the police do? Rather than stopping the law being broken, they put a Land Rover in with cameras to film men in masks.
Well, on the Thursday night when the remains returned, the volley of shots were fired. And that was broadcast on social media and reported the next day in mainstream media. So the police would have known, irrespective of me or anyone else saying, look, there's probably going to be more of this on Saturday. The police would have known that. So, you know, as a belt and braces exercise, we said to them, there is going to be more on Saturday because the funeral is still to come. And, of course, Saturday came and the law was broken yet again. Now, this sends a very serious signal to all parts of Northern Ireland. If action isn't taken, it sends a very serious signal that the law by some sections of the community can be broken with impunity. That's the signal that it sends.
We asked the police to come onto the programme today. They wouldn't do so. They give us a statement. And of course, in a statement, the police might think that I can't challenge them. I will be challenging them this morning. And in this statement, the Assistant Chief Constable Will Kerr says, decisions on the nature or appearance of any evidence-gathering operation are made at a senior level on a case-by-case basis, taking into account a range of operational factors. Well, actually, Assistant Chief Constable Will Kerr, we're not asking you about how you gather evidence. We're asking about how you stop people breaking the law before you need to gather evidence to catch them. So that's the key question here this morning. You, the Police Service of Northern Ireland, had a heads up that gangsters, that thugs in masks were going to walk along the streets of Northern Ireland, and you know what? They did so with impunity. And then we see a tweet from George Hamilton on July the 18th, who says, when asked, he was responding to the following tweet: is this actually happening on your watch, Chief Constable? As a member of the public, I demand an explanation. And this person that had tweeted this had sent a picture of these masked thugs with their dark sunglasses on and their paraphernalia, their paramilitary paraphernalia, walking along with impunity along the streets of Northern Ireland. And when challenged, the Chief Constable says the clue might be in the police Land Rover, complete with evidence-gathering facilities. Like we said earlier, an investigation ongoing. But of course, what that Land Rover is doing is taking photographs of men in masks. That's going to be really helpful in court, isn't it? To identify people who are masked up, who have dark sunglasses on. And again, the challenge to the Chief Constable this morning: what are you saying here? The people can break the law and then you'll try to gather evidence after they do it? Is that really the situation we're in Northern Ireland? Now, the flip side of this, of course, Gregory Campbell, is Northern Ireland is a complex place. What did you want them to do? If the police hadn't moved in, what type of trouble would there have been? And presumably, that's part of the operational factor that this ACC Will Kerr is talking about.
Well, you see, Stephen, there is a big difference between something happening and the police responding and then having to gather evidence and hopefully getting sufficient evidence which results in prosecutions. That's one thing that can be done. But if the police know in advance that the law is going to be broken,
what do you want them to do?
Well, what I assume would happen in most circumstances is in the circumstances of a funeral procession that may well break the law, I would have thought some police officers would have been delegated to go to the family or to those who are organising the funeral to establish what kind of funeral is this going to be, because that will determine our approach to the funeral. And then, obviously, discussions would be held and there would have been a period of 24 hours or thereabouts.
You know, you're aware, though, you're aware, Gregory Campbell, and it's probably quite cosy for you and I in our comfortable armchairs to be commenting on the police. You know that there's a dissident threat against the police. That might have been part of the operational tactics in this.
I am exceptionally well aware of that, Stephen, given that I was the subject of a threat by the same individuals. So I don't sit cosy in an armchair about these matters. Yes, I am aware that that is the case, but the law still has to be upheld. The law still must be upheld, and particularly in circumstances that the police know on a Thursday evening that the Saturday lunchtime following, there's going to be potentially a major breach in the law. They then have a duty and an obligation to act. Now, we've seen some action post the funeral, but let's see what that results.
That doesn't seem to be what the police, the message that the police are sending out here this morning, doesn't seem to be that they have a duty to act before a crime is committed. It seems to be that what the police is saying here this morning is that they have discretion to act after a crime has been committed, even if they have a heads up that a crime is going to be committed. It seems to be, like, if I read further in this statement, there is no one-size-fits-all approach, says Assistant Chief Constable Will Kerr. However, where offences are disclosed, they will always be investigated. So it's clear that the police are saying, look, they can choose sometimes to watch a crime happening and then gather evidence afterwards. It's clear from this statement that's the inference here.
Well, obviously, there are different circumstances for a whole range of eventualities. But if the police, in advance of a crime being committed, are aware that it is going to be committed, if they choose not to act and then deal with it afterwards, we have to A, see the explanation as to why they did that, and B, see what the action afterwards amounts to. That's what we need to see.
Yeah, but you still haven't really addressed my question. What did you expect the police to actually... did you really expect the police to move in there and start arresting these thugs in masks?
Well, I did answer it. The police had more than 24 hours between the first break of the law and the second break of the law. And they knew, as a result of the first, that the second would probably occur. So they should have been in discussions with the organisers of the funeral to see what type of funeral it was going to be. And when they discovered it was going to be a two-mile march, which is what it was, rather than simply a burial of the deceased, they should then have said, well, look, we're going to have to take some form of action, and discussed with the organisers of the funeral the best way to allow those who wanted to pay a tribute to the deceased to do so, but in a way that the law wasn't broken.
But would you really have expected the police to go in and arrest these people as they were marching?
I would have expected the police to say to the organisers of the funeral, look, if you do A, you will be in breach of the law. We will be coming after you. Yeah. If you do B, you remain within the law. Now it's your call that you want to do the whatever description you want to give to it. It's up to you. But if you break the law, you will be made amenable. That's what I would expect the police to do.
The other question I would have for the police this morning, that if we take the logic of this operation, which is to watch crime being committed and then to say publicly, don't worry, we were gathering evidence. Well, let's take that to its farcical end. Do we watch bank robbers rob a bank and then say we're trying to find them? Do we watch people commit assault and then say, well, look, don't worry, we gathered the evidence as someone was being pummeled. Don't worry, we had our Land Rover at the scene. So why? How is the Chief Constable justifying in his tweet to this member of the public that essentially what he was doing, don't worry, he was gathering evidence while the police were sitting in a Land Rover watching a crime being committed? Gary Donnelly, what would you say to Gregory Campbell this morning?
Well, you know, it's what would Gregory want? Would Gregory want the PS and I to move and fire batten rounds and spill blood of mourners like the British police has done in the past? You know, recently we've had the spectacle of a loyalist band parading past a Catholic church in Belfast. There was no cause for the police should have moved in. They would have had prior knowledge. There was a history of loyalist bands breaking parades determinations. You know, so would Gregory have wanted the PS&ID to move in, arrest that band, confiscate their uniforms and remove them off the street?
It's not a bad question, Gregory Campbell.
Well, of course, it's a completely different set of circumstances, and I don't know how Gary Donnelly can talk about the police would have advanced knowledge of offences. The police knew on Thursday night, because of the shots being fired at the wake, that the funeral was still to come on Saturday. Now, the key question, Stephen, and you haven't asked it yet, but I'll pose it. The key question and difference between some of the scenarios that you outlined and this one, i.e., if there was a bank robbery or if there was something else going on which the police knew about, would they stand back and then gather evidence? The difference between those sorts of scenarios and this one, in the eyes of many people, is that there is a political connotation to these events, and some senior people in the police didn't want to take the opportunity to enforce the law because of the political ramifications. That's the difference.
Well, you're speculating around that. You do not know that. You do not know that there was any political influence on a policing operation.
I'm not suggesting that there was, but I'm pointing out what the difference is. Now, if there's no difference...
Well, you brought up bandsmen, by the way, and loyalist bandsmen, in a statement that you released the other day, because I was reading this, and you, Gregory Campbell, said, while loyalist bandsmen have been convicted for playing music in breach of a parade commission determination, it seems that NLA men and women can parade the streets of Londonderry, carry automatic weapons and discharge several rounds from guns without fear of prosecution. So can I read from that you support loyalist bandsmen being convicted and being pursued by the police if they break the law?
Stephen, what I was pointing out there was that there is a massive distinction in the evidence gathering.
I get that, but what I'm pointing out to you is, do you therefore support loyalist bandsmen who are breaking the law being pursued by the police?
Well, anybody that breaks the law should face due process, whether they're loyalist bandsmen, whether they are Republican marchers, or whoever. They should be, and that goes without saying. But the difference here, Stephen, is that there was a series of prosecutions on a whole range of relatively minor...
So for me to be clear, you support loyalist bandsmen being prosecuted?
No, I support anyone who breaks the law facing due process. The difference here is that the police knew in advance that there would be a serious breach of the law, not someone playing a tune going past a church, which happens to be a tune that was a hymn tune. To compare the two, comparing apples and oranges.
Gary Donnelly, what has this achieved? Do you criticise these people who marched in masks?
No, I don't. No, I suppose the crux of the whole legal issue is, Republicans, they don't accept the legitimacy or the legality of the British state in Ireland, and just as the same as Gregory doesn't accept, the legality or legitimacy of Republicans.
And what does it achieve? These men marching in paramilitary gear. What does that achieve?
Well, it's a time-honored tradition, in Republican military funerals, such as that of Jeremiah O'Donovan Rossa, where Padraig Pearse delivered his famous speech. The centenary of that speech will be commemorated, at the beginning of. And I suppose there's a political message in these funerals, and it says basically that these crappies won't lie down. And I suppose Piggy organised her own funeral, and even in death, Piggy was showing defiance to the British state, that same British state that she would have viewed as having driven her son to his death, in fighting the legality and the criminalisation policy.
Gregory?
Well, whenever you hear this nonsense about these crappies not lying down, Gary Donnelly needs to get real. He does really need to waken up. He lives, works in, in and is elected on the west bank of Londonderry, which has been ethnically cleansed of thousands of Protestants. So there's no question of crappies lying down. It's the Protestants that have all left, been forced out by the organisations that Gary Donnelly and his predecessors have supported. But that's getting away from the point here, Stephen. That's getting away, and we've been sidetracked again. Gary Donnelly seems to be adept at trying to sidetrack issues. The law was broken on Thursday night with the shots being fired, and he was there, witnessed it, and gave support to it. On Saturday, the law was broken again by scores of masked men and women in a parade that was masquerading as a funeral procession, and the law must be seen to be upheld.
I'm not getting away with it. I don't make any excuses for being there. I'm honoured and I'm privileged to have been there. But, you know, Ulster, unionist loyalty...
You support on Thursday night, the shots been fired.
Unionist loyalty and legality is conditional. It's conditional on the British government or its laws acting in the best interests of, the six counties remaining part of Britain. And at any stage that this seems to be weakened or whatever, you know, unionist politicians have no problem threatening to break laws. You know, there's been weapons imported by the loyalist community threatening civil disobedience. The unionist loyalist community, it's not pacifist here, you know. And they will, if it happens, they will threaten to break laws and will actually, break laws. They will cause concern within the nationalist community. You know, even if it's waving firearm certificates, masked men and whole sides waving legal firearm certificates. You know, so the unionist community is not above beyond breaking laws itself.
And do you think Gary Donnelly dressing up as a soldier on a Saturday in the city centre brings a United Ireland any closer?
It wasn't about bringing a United Ireland there, any closer. This was a funeral procession.
What did it achieve?
It was the wishes of the deceased that this is how she wanted to be buried.
This was a show of strength, Gary.
I suppose in a way it was. It was a defiance. It was, and there is a political message in it. You know, it's defiance. It's defiance to that very state that this woman who spent her life opposing. The very state that, this woman watched her son give his life.
And yet you've just admitted...
It's understandable. It's not... Within the nationalist Republican community, maybe not everybody supports it, but it's understandable. And there's no cause for concern within it.
See, Gregory, maybe Gary has hit the nail on the head of why some people would be concerned about the police response here. Gary Donnelly clearly saying that this was a show of strength. And as I look at some of the optics around this, you have many, many men in masks breaking the law, and you have one police Land Rover sitting at the side of the road, essentially doing nothing except gathering pictures. And if that is a show of strength, then the optics of where the strength is very, very clear here, Gregory.
Well, the optics are clear, and the police have a duty to respond. And I notice Gary Donnelly in his... whatever it was there going down through history, evaded my question. Did he support the firing of the shots on Thursday night or not?
Do you want to answer that, Gary?
I have no issues with anything that happened either on Thursday night or on Saturday.
Is that a yes?
I have no issues, Gregory.
Is that a yes?
I have no issues with what happened. And I was proud and honoured.
I think we'll take that as a yes.
You can take it whatever you interpret it, Gregory.
Right, well then, police have a duty not only to act on Thursday night, not only to act on Saturday, but to act on what a democratically elected councillor who has a code of conduct and who signed up on his nomination day to upholding the rule of law. They have a duty to act in respect of that as well.
I agree. Should the PSNI act about one of your councillors saying he has no problem with UVF flags flying in Donnymanna?
Don't see what the flying of flags has to do with the break of the law on Thursday night when shots were fired from illegal weapons and a show of strength by an illegal paramilitary organisation on Saturday of 40 or 50 men and women.
By the same token, this could be seen by one of your councillors giving support to a loyalist terrorist organisation which has a track record of murdering people within the Catholic community.
You're going away on the extension of flying of flags, and I don't know what the flags were, whether
they
were 1912 flags or whatever, but the point is, let's not evade the issue, let's not drag in red herrings. You would appear to be supporting the firing of the shots over the coffin on Thursday night by your failure.
You could argue, Gregory, that while shots were fired, you could argue that while there was this procession of men in paramilitary uniform, you could argue there was no violence insofar as no one was hurt, no one was injured, no property was damaged.
Yes.
You could argue that.
Well, you would be very naive if you would argue that, because then the logic of that is that you can break the law as long as nobody gets hurt. As long as no one gets hurt and no damage is done to property, you can break the law. But you can't do that.
You see, there's an interesting kind of global picture here, especially at this time of the year, Gregory. Have the DUP and people like you, have you been vocal about when the law's been broken, when, for example, I don't know, people are putting tyres on bone fires, when people are painting curbstones red, white and blue, when people are breaking the law, technicalities as they are, in those instances?
Well, if the police were aware of that being done in advance, I'm sure that they would take action and uphold the law. And in fact, I am aware of a number of instances in recent years where they have taken...
So you think the people that have been putting tyres on bonfires, for example, should be prosecuted, do you?
Well, if the police are aware of it in advance, I'm sure that what they would do is, and common sense would dictate this to you, that they would go along to the organisation.
Is that a yes from you?
Look, if you persist in putting those tyres there, you're breaking
Not
the
if you persist, it's a breach. Is it a yes from you?
Well, that, what would happen is the police would tell the organisers, you're breaking the law.
Give them a heads up.
If you don't take them down, you'll be prosecuted. And on some occasions, what they have
You see,
been.
You get my point.
Should any member of the unionist community who attends this bonfire and witnesses this happening and who doesn't phone the PSNI, should they be investigated and charged?
If anybody was aware and present and gives support to, like you are, then they should be prosecuted. If they give
You still haven't answered my question about your DUP colleague here in Derry. If you support the rule and law, as you continuously say, what is wrong with the PSNI investigating that counter and his comments about that he has no problem with the UPF flags?
Well, you see, you keep repeating this, and we haven't heard from the councillor what he actually did say. But as I've
You're not aware of it?
As I've said on previous occasions... given that you are a democratically elected councillor and you've already been convicted of a breach of the law, I would be very, very careful if I were you about accusing others who aren't here to explain what they
Have you
said,
asked them?
Why they said it, and in what context they said it. You know,
you asked them, Gregory, very, are you not concerned? Careful. Are you not concerned about the allegations that I made? Are you not concerned of one of your colleagues?
See all the red herrings. They won't change the bad smell here. From the law being broken on Thursday night with the shots being fired and you supporting it?
I have no issues with it, Gregory.
Does that mean you condemn it?
I will not condemn it, no.
Well, when you say you've no issues with it, that means you support it, Gary, right?
Well, that's an interpretation. You know, so does everyone who attends a Loyalist parade and a band plays music back, you know, passing a church, which is in effect breaking the law, does everyone at that parade therefore support breaking the law? Does everyone who attends 11th night bonfire with their tyres on, is every one of them criminal? Is every one of them guilty of breaking the law?
The DUP councillor who you were referring to, by the way, is reported in the Strabane Chronicle as the DUP's Alan Breslin. Now, I'm very aware that Mr. Breslin hasn't been on the radio this morning to clarify his comments, which we will give him an opportunity to do so now. John in Belfast. Morning to you, John.
Hello. This is all a red herring from Gregory Campbell. Because I'll tell you why. There was a war in this country for 40 years, and I don't agree with Gary Donnelly's politics whatsoever. But the wishes of the family are paramount. And if they're loyalist or Republican and their families wish them to have a paramilitary-style funeral, then why not?
So you're talking here, you're a loyalist and you're basically defending the so-called honouring of the dead, right?
Yes, because they were involved in a war that lasted 40 years in this country. And like any other army, because that's what they were armies. No matter what people think, they were armies. and the wishes of their families should be upheld.
Yeah, Gregory Campbell, I'm looking here at reports of UDA displays at a funeral of Colin Bapp Lindsay. I was away. I was out of the country. Were you vocal about the UDA displays, Gregory?
Well, were there UDA masked men who fired shots over the coffin when it was returned for the wake?
There was a wreath. There was a wreath saying UDA on it.
So I take it by your evasion that there wasn't.
There was a man in a beret.
Shots fired, right? Mm. So there weren't shots fired. Now, were there dozens then of masked, fully paramilitary garbed UDA men marching for 2 miles after the hearse?
So I'm not trying to be clever, Gregory, but is it then a question of scale that a man in a beret and a wreath saying UDA is acceptable, is it?
No, it's a question of breaking the law, no matter who does it.
Well, a man in a beret with a UDA wreath, is that breaking the law or not?
Well,
it's a display of paramilitary.
If anybody was to march behind a UDA organisation in paramilitary garb, in the way that the INLA did on Saturday in Londonderry, they would be in breach of the law and the police should take the same action as they should have taken against the INLA.
Andrew Nisbet.
The police actually called here in advance for the media to respect the privacy of the family, so we don't know what went on at that funeral. You know, but there was a UFF flag, there was a man with a beret, so does anybody who, you know, is anybody who was part of that funeral procession, should they be investigated in the same way that Gregory's calling for me to be investigated?
That's obviously blatant nonsense, completely and utterly different.
It's a fair question, actually.
Well, you see, if UDA or UFF people were to garb up and fire shots over a coffin, then the same action should be taken against them as should have been taken against the INLA. No difference, no distinction whatsoever.
And were the police right in saying that the family's wishes should be respected and for the media to stay away?
As long as that doesn't result in a breach of the law. Which your attendance did, and on Saturday at the funeral did.
I just wonder why his attendance didn't facilitate anything. He's entitled to attend a funeral.
Oh, of course he is, but he's not entitled to defend a breach of the law when he does so, which is what he's done. That's what he's not entitled to do.